Father, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's done some good stuff for us this week. Amen. And I'm glad for the power of God. And I'm glad that He is still on the throne doing business.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We've got a Savior who loves us, who cares about us, who has our best interest at heart. Amen.
Amen, man.
He knows what we need. Amen. I think where we left off Wednesday night, before last, was in Galatians chapter number 5. You want to turn with me there. I'm going to read this. I think we read it out of King James Version last time, maybe the Passion Translation, I don't remember. But we're going to read, start out tonight with a Message translation. And I love it when God does a thing.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Right.
When He does what He wants to do.
Amen, yeah, brother.
And we just stand back and let Him do it.
Amen.
And we should do it all the time, but we don't. Sometimes we like to get our hands in it.
Right.
And when we get our hands in it, we mess it up.
Yeah.
So I want to, Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 5 is where I want to start. He said, but the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have received by faith the glorious righteousness of the Anointed One. And aren't you glad the Holy Spirit's convincing
you? Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So then let's go to verse 6 in the Message translation. I believe that's verse chapter 5, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we'll go for it. When you're placed into the Anointed One and joined to Him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. I think that's the Passion Translation. But I'm glad that when we are joined and placed in Him, circumcision and all this craziness and all of the law don't matter. At all.
That's right.
All that matters, it can benefit us nothing. All that matters is living in the faith that is activated and brought in perfection by His
perfection
love.
By love. Amen.
Here it is in the Message translation. It says, for in Christ neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love.
Yes.
Thinking about that makes you think of John chapter 1 when he says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes, amen.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he said.
Yes.
And he said that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Yes. Right.
So guess what? It's all in Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
It's all in Him. So he said, and think about this, God is love.
Yes.
God is not only love, but He's the essence of love.
Yes.
He's all love is.
Yes.
For God is love. Yes. And love is God.
Amen.
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 So when you think about love, you can't do it justice unless you're thinking about God. So in the culture of the kingdom, love is eternal. It's always been there, just like God.
Amen.
God has always been there.
Yes, He has.
We don't know a world without God. We don't know a God without a world.
Come on.
He is our world.
Yes, amen.
He's everything that we are. He in Him we live, yes, we move, amen, and we have our being. Yes. So without Him was not anything made that was made. So guess what? When God created it by faith, He created it by faith in love.
Amen.
Love, faith, and hope has always been there.
Amen.
Right.
Always been there. And so if you want to go, when you think about the beginning, that scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. We can also exchange the three and put in the beginning was the love. In the beginning was faith. In the beginning
was hope, because God is all those.
So in the culture of the kingdom, we know love is eternal. So in the beginning was peace, in the beginning was hope, in the beginning was faith, in the beginning was love. Because God is all of that. That's the fruit of Him.
Amen.
That's the fruit of His Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, faith. All of those together up in one is His fruit. And if you got God, you got those fruit.
Amen. Right. Come on.
Amen. Yes. How many's glad you got God?
Amen.
And then you ought to be portraying His fruit.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You can't be in God's tree and not bear His fruit.
Amen.
No lemons. You don't have a lemon in the orchard. This is who God is. Because this is the person of God. This is who God is.
Amen.
His person is love. His person is faith. His person is hope. His person is everything that we can dream up. The person of Jesus, He says in the beginning, it was and it always has been and it always will be. And so when God speaks, things happen.
Yes, amen.
Right?
That's right.
When God speaks, things happen. Creation happens. The unseen things appear. Because His words are empowered with faith.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13:13. Now by faith, hope, and charity, or love. But the greatest of these is charity. Now abide. Now, they're just always been there. They are abided. They're not, that abideth, that word in the King James Version, abideth, means that it's present tense.
Yes.
It's still there.
Amen.
And it's,
amen.
That's why God looked at Moses, or Moses in the burning bush, and He says, I am. He says, I'm present. I am that I am. I just never was anything but I am.
Amen.
When you're getting a circumstance, I am. When you're getting a problem, I am. When you're getting in a bad place, I am. I am that. Whatever you need, I'm that. Wherever you're at, I'm that.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake. Because He said, I am.
Yes.
So you got His word on it that He's always present.
Amen.
He's never past.
That's right.
He's always I am. So this minute He's I am. Last minute He was I am. And the minute after here, He's going to be I am still.
Yeah.
Yeah, He's never going away.
Amen.
Sometimes people might wish you would. But He's not.
Amen.
Matthew 14:35. I like this verse. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, my words will never pass away. Isaiah 40:8 said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. So that means love is not going anywhere.
That's right.
Hope is not going anywhere.
That's right.
And faith is not going anywhere.
Ooh,
because God never changes and He always will be God.
That's good. Amen.
He's God all the time.
Yes,
so when you live out of a place of faith, you can anchor yourself in God, who God is. It gives you the ability to stand and standing on the rock, and you do that by faith. It's by faith you know everything can be shaken outside of Him. But when you're in Him, you got faith in knowing who He is.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to understand, when you're in Him, it doesn't matter what's going on around, it isn't affecting Him. My God is not affected by a storm.
Right?
I don't care what kind of problem it is. He doesn't shake Him up.
Doesn't shake Him up at all.
He's not shaken up by anything that shakes us up.
Yeah.
Because He's God.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm. So, it is in Him you are secure. And it's by faith we understand that. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32:2. My doctrine shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb and the showers upon the grass. This is what happens when you speak out of faith. love. When you do that, new life happens. See what he said? My doctrine or my words, just who I am, will drop as the rain. My speech is going to steal as the dew and the small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers on the grass. My word's going to do for you what it does, what rain does to the grass.
Yes, come on, amen.
So let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let his word rain on me.
Yes,
let his word just pour over me.
Yes.
Flow over me. Let me consistently stay in that realm. Because when we live out of a place of faith, we're going to understand that his doctrine is not church doctrine. It won't help nobody. Heart is a heart most times. But when we have his doctrine, he'll drop it as a rain. Our speech will be still as a dew. So what happens is when you speak that over somebody, you begin to pour rain over them. You begin, their dry souls start getting. Amen?
Amen, brother.
If we understood who we were in Christ, who we were. Amen?
Yes.
Who we are.
That's right.
I read to you a scripture, well, I think it was last Wednesday night during our Pentecost feast out of Deuteronomy, where he said, I am chosen you to be a kingdom of priests.
Yes, amen.
A kingdom. This is in Deuteronomy he said that. A kingdom of priests.
Right?
Did he get one? Not in the Old Testament, he didn't. But he dreamed about it. He was sharing with Moses his dream. I'm looking for a kingdom of priests. He wasn't looking for a one-man show. He wasn't looking for one man to do everything. Come on, I'm headed somewhere. He was looking for a kingdom of people to fulfill his work. You know what a priest, what the priest is for? You know what their job was? We find it over in the Old Testament after that they had a mess. This is why that the Levitical priesthood got set up to start with. Because if you look in the Old Testament, it was never God's will for one tribe to be priest. He said, I want a kingdom of priests. I want everybody to become a priest. I want everybody to have. I want everybody to be in my presence. It's my devotion. It's my presence that I want to spread out to everybody. I want everybody to be a priest. That was what God wanted. That was his dream for Israel. Well, guess what happened? The golden calf happened. And they made him a golden calf. And Aaron helped do it. And they brought it and they just worshiped that thing, took off all their clothes. The Bible said they did. I didn't say that. There's a mess down in there. Moses come down off the mountain from having communion with God. And God said, boy, you better get out of my presence real quick and get back down there with your bunch because they done messed up.
Yeah. Come on.
Moses comes down off the mountain and broke all 10 of the commandments at once. Busted them. That ain't good. That's not good in English, but that's what Oklahoma people say. Busted. He broke the commandments of God. Broke the stone tablets that God had written on.
Yeah.
He got so outdone. And so God says to Moses, said, I want you to tell everybody that's on my side to get over here with you. Moses said, is anybody on the side of the Lord? Get over here. Who was the ones that came? All the tribe of Levi. They said, we got your back. We coming. You know what God said? That's the guys I want to be my priest. I want them to sit there on my side. So now it's become just a group. I didn't want it to be a groupie, but they're the only ones that stood up for me when I needed someone to defend.
Yes, hallelujah. Come on.
Oh, this is not even in none of my notes. I didn't intend on getting here tonight.
Come on.
But he said,
He said, I want my people to be my priest. My dream is for me to have a kingdom, a priest. Now I only got one tribe that's saying they want to stand with me. So I'm picking that tribe out of all the other 12 to become my priest.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know what a priest was? Is they were a keeper of the tent.
Yeah.
You know what the tent was? A meeting place.
Yeah.
Where God and man met.
Right. Lord.
That's a priest.
Yes.
Amen. They were the meeting place. You know what you are tonight?
We're the meeting place.
You're the meeting place that brings everybody else and God together.
Yes, amen. Woo!
You know why you can't be happy in other churches? Because other churches don't allow you to be the meeting place.
Yes.
Other places say you got to come to the preacher. You got to pass out before the pastor. You got to come before the board. But you know what God says? I'm still looking for a kingdom of priests. I'm looking for somebody that'll be a meeting place. There'll be a meeting place in Walmart that'll bring that checker and be together. There'll be a place in Dollar General, and they will be a meeting place, and they'll set up a tent, and they'll say, hey, well, let me introduce you to my Savior. Let me introduce you to my King. Let them become your meeting place. God is looking for a kingdom of priests. Ooh. I like it when God gets in the thing.
Amen.
Man, and I thought God was in this. But he is. We're headed back there toward indifferently. This in a different. But I wanna get us to something. We as people of God have got this thing knocked out about how God's gotta do stuff.
Hallelujah.
He's gonna blow your mind.
Yeah. Come on with.
He's going to blow our minds.
Yes, amen, sir.
Because his plan is so much different. So much different.
Come on, brother.
Than the plan that we have always done.
Reach it, sir.
And that we have always been a part of.
Ooh, come on, brother. Come on.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Come on. Come on now. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place.
We are priests. That's a meet place.
Yes.
We bring God
Amen.
And others together.
That's right.
We bring God, and neighbors together. Because we're just a meeting place. That's all we are. We are the tent, the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What we do is bring God and man together.
Yes.
Oh, they can't meet him if they don't have a meeting place.
Come on now. Come on, brother. Come on. That's
right. So I'm not just a preacher. I'm a meeting place.
Right.
You're not just an evangelist. You're a priest. You're a meeting place. You carry your tent around with you, and you keep that tent on a daily basis, and you go out there and straighten up that tent, and you make it look real nice, because you want the anointing of the Holy Ghost to reach out and grab somebody when they come by, and the Lord says, hey, you need to go over there to that tent.
Yeah.
What tent?
Yeah. Walk on over.
Tell, I don't see nothing but wrecks.
Come on.
No, look at it again.
Come on.
And all of a sudden, Brother Rex, they start asking questions that they've never asked before. You know why? Because you've been keeping the tent. And they wanting to know what you got in that tent. Because it's a meeting place. Where God and man is meeting. And we're just the vessel. We're just the priest. We're just a meeting place. Keeper of the tent. That's all you are.
Right.
You're just a keeper of the meeting place.
Yeah.
So stop getting lifted up in pride. You ain't nothing.
Ooh, come on,
you're just a keeper of the meeting place.
Come on.
That's all we are.
Yeah.
We are just here to bring God together with some.
That's right.
Woo! Come on, brother. What's my job, Pastor?
Keeper of the tent.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Oh, I love it.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Well, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
Where else do you set up meetings? Come on, you introduce.
That's right.
Because you got God inside of you.
Yeah.
You got the tent.
Yeah.
So you bring them in under the shelter of your tent.
Yes.
And let them meet.
Yeah.
The King of Kings.
King of Kings.
And the Lord of Lords.
And the Lord of Lords. Come on.
Because.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you,
God. They are the first, right?
This yes. That's right. But they were the keeper of the presence of God. And do you understand who you are? God has called us to be priests unto Him. Keepers. Those priests went before. They went before. You understand when the priest's feet hit the water parted. The Levites carried the ark. They were carriers of God. But the priests were the meeting place. They took care of the meeting place where God come down. And you understand in the Old Testament, it was a closed session. Nobody could come in there. But on the day of crucifixion, God said, no longer am I in a closed meeting. I'm about to have me a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
And everywhere somebody wants to take me, I'll go meet the people.
Thank you,
Bob. Yeah. On Mount Sinai, when he was on the Mount Sinai, he said, don't y'all come near that mountain because I'll have to break through on you when you start staring at me. I can't deal with you staring at me because when you're staring at me, I know you want me. Don't let them gaze. What he told Moses, don't let them gaze.
Don't let them gaze.
Don't let them stare.
That's right.
Don't let them get lost.
Come on.
In looking at me.
Come on.
Because when I see them staring, I'm going to break through on them. And they can't handle what I let loose.
That's right.
But now that Jesus Christ came, He ripped the door from top to bottom and He said, hey, come on in and stare. Come on in and gaze. Come on in and look. Come on in and make yourself at home. Because no more is it a closed session. I've opened up the door. From now on, I've opened it all the way up. I've brought heaven and down the earth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So do you understand what God did on the day when Jesus Christ was crucified? He opened up heaven.
Amen.
So,
opened up heaven. Come on.
Oh,
hallelujah.
The 420 elders have been crying. The angels have been weeping. Because there was nobody to open the book.
Hallelujah.
You know what that was? Is your soul was sealed up.
That's right.
Couldn't nobody open it.
That's good.
Couldn't nobody unlock the seals. But Jesus has the Lamb of God has prevailed.
Yes.
He has come forth.
Yes.
He opened every seal.
Thank you.
Every door. And that's the reason the veil was sealed. Ripped from top to bottom because there was nothing left that wasn't open in heaven. When Jesus got done, He opened it. Yeah, that's why He said it is finished. I have ripped every seal. I have come across every demon. I have knocked every devil out. My sickness has been paid for. Forgiveness has been paid for. Sin is wiped out. Strength is in the law. But the law has been fulfilled. And now I'm available at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Oh, hallelujah. For you continue.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Jesus. You're worthy, Father.
So here's what happened. God said, now I got a kingdom of priests.
Yeah.
Revelation said He has made us priests.
Hey, that's priest. Right.
Kings and priests.
Thank you, Jesus.
It wasn't but two kings and priests. They wasn't together. They were never, king and a priest could never go run together. You know why? Because the king had his agenda and the priest had his agenda. The king's agenda was to serve the people. The priest's agenda was to serve God. So the king couldn't be a priest and the priest couldn't be a king. Because they had two different agendas. But there came a guy in Abraham's day by the name of Melchizedek. That the Bible says was king and priest.
Yes, he was. Hallelujah.
He didn't have no ending. He didn't have no beginning. They don't know where it came from.
Yeah, that's right. They don't. Come on.
That's what the Bible says. Now the Jewish rabbis teach that he might have been the righteous son of Noah. But they're not real sure who he was. But the Bible says he had no mother and father, so I don't think he was. And he had no beginning and he had no end. He just showed up on Mount, right close to Mount Moriah. And Abraham said, I recognize who you are. I don't know you, but I recognize that you are king and you are priest.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay my tithes to you.
Hallelujah.
And he gave tithes. That's where tithes first started in the book of Genesis. When Abraham paid his tithes to the number one first king and priest.
Hallelujah.
There wasn't another king and priest until Jesus Christ arrived on the earth.
Amen.
And Jesus was king and priest.
Yeah.
The world didn't know him as king. They only knew him as priest. But he's coming back
as
King of Kings
and
Lord of Lords. But Jesus left us, and Hebrews tells us, now you are kings and priests under God.
Come on.
Christ has performed the duties of the priest and the king and gave us the authority to be both.
Yeah.
So look out, devil.
That's right. Look out, devil.
Because I am who I am.
I am who I am. Amen.
Christ has made me who I am.
Yes.
I'm not nobody in myself. But in him I live, I move, and I have my being. And let me tell you something. I'm going to get more loose and more loose and more loose in him. Because I live and I move and I breathe in him. So you understand the priest were the leaders. And they ministered. They brought the people and God together in the meeting place, in the temple, in the tabernacle. They were keeper of the presence of God.
Amen.
They knew the presence, knew what it was like. I told you on the Feast of Pentecost that rabbis teach that when they entered there in one time a year, Yom Kippur, that they spoke with other tongues in the Holy of Holies. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because some people come, some denominations say it's going away, gone away. If it went away,
come on.
When did it start?
Come on.
And when did it go?
Come on.
If it started way back there in priest day, and if you'll look at the prayer of Moses, and you can't in the King James Version, you will notice that the prayer of Moses in Deuteronomy has, this came from a rabbi, but I just happened to notice it one day.
Yay.
At the end of the prayer, right in the middle of his prayer, is a semicolon and a dash. And I asked my rabbi friend, I said, Moses' prayer, in the middle of it, it's got a semicolon and a dash. I said, in the King James Version. He said, oh, that's easy. He said there are five words in Moses' prayer that is uninterpretable.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Wow. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. And they couldn't interpret it. They didn't know how to interpret it. Because he's speaking in tongues. He's speaking in the heavenly language.
Yeah.
So if Moses could speak in a heavenly language, what's wrong with you?
Come on.
What's wrong with us?
Amen.
What's wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ doing it today? Yeah. In 2019? Yeah. What's wrong with it? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I gotta quit. One more thing I want to share with you. Real quickly on this, is that we are kings and priests unto God.
Amen.
A priest is the keeper of the presence,
yes,
and the meeting place for God and man to meet.
Hallelujah.
What else does that priest do?
Come on.
He ministers to God. I'm going to tell the side over here because I didn't get it. I'm just joking. He ministers to God.
Yes, come on.
You get that?
Yeah. Come on.
He ministers. Do y'all know the worship service is not for y'all?
That's right.
Come on,
that's right.
For God. Come on.
That's
right. Come on. That's right. Yes, amen. Come on.
I'm going to go somewhere right now.
Come on,
man. Pull your toes up under the pew. I moved mine under the desk as far as I could this afternoon. Underneath while I was mowing and all. But God gave me this. He said the priest, their job was to bring me together with man and to minister to me. The only thing they did to the people is bless them. They did not minister to them. The church is way too much trying to please people and individuals. And we have missed the mark. Totally. We have missed God's plan for the...
Come on.
The church, when this thing was began, when it let loose in Acts... They weren't worried about ministering to nobody, but they were ministering to God. They were lost in the presence of God. They were gathered together, lost in His presence. Worship, they said, they were continually, Luke, the last verse and the last chapter, says they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They weren't worried about nobody else. They weren't trying to figure out, do you like this? Are you pleased with this? Is this okay with you? No, it was they were just all about God. They were blessing Him. And they were magnifying Him. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to plead with them. You don't have to tell you how to cry about them. They'll just come. When we begin to worship, and when we can begin to magnify God, we don't worry about how loud it is or how low it is. We're just in tune with God. We're just blessing Him. We're just ministering to Him. We're just glorifying Him. We ain't caring about nobody, but we love Him. No matter, we love Him. It is all about Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on now.
I'm not being mean
no.
or hateful.
It ain't about us.
But
It ain't about us. It ain't about us. Come on.
I'm wanting the heart of God.
Come on.
That's right.
I'm wanting him to be lifted up.
That's right.
We ain't had 7 souls saved in the last 4 months.
Come on.
In this church.
Come on.
When we didn't have but 1 saved last year.
Come on.
Come on. We said this year, God, we ain't making no plans.
Come on.
And we're going to let you be God. And look at God. He is moving. He is breaking up. He is loosening things. He is going crazy and nuts in this house. Because why? We have let him know it's about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him.
It's all about you, our Heavenly Father. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, my Lord.
I don't want you to get upset with me.
Hallelujah.
But this has been on me for the last 4 days.
Come on, bro.
And I said, God, I don't want to preach that Wednesday night.
Come on.
Save it, God.
Let it go. Hallelujah.
Let it go.
It's all about you, Jesus. It ain't about us. It ain't about what I want.
This podcast comes out, it's going to be
Hallelujah.
Phone call after phone call.
Phone call. All right. I need to learn.
We're doing what God
wants about him. Come on.
How many wants his doctrine to drop? Like a dew from heaven.
Right.
It can't drop if we don't make him feel
come
up.
Come on.
Why did Paul and Silas get an earthquake move?
Yep.
It's because they made him feel welcome
in
their midst.
Come on, brother.
They weren't ministering to their wounds. Wasn't thinking about the jailer getting saved. That wasn't even in their thoughts.
Hallelujah.
All they had in mind is God. We just want to praise you.
Yes.
We just want to bless you. We just want to magnify you. We just want to glorify you. We forgot what your job was. We forgot what our job was. We're just arranged the meeting.
Come on. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Father.
All we are is the ranger of the meeting place. We don't own the range.
Come on. We don't own nothing. He gave it to us. Come on.
So we act like we don't own the ranch.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't happening. I bless God, I'm a member here. I pay my tithes here. Yeah, that's good. But why do you pay your tithes? So you can have a voice? Go down there where it matters.
I'm not being mean.
Come on, that's good.
Because in this house, we're here to do the Father's business.
That's right.
I'm not saying all this. This ain't me.
Y'all
know it ain't. Somebody bigger than me's done taking over my mouth because I'm surprised at what's all coming out of there.
Come on,
son of a yabba kusha. Do you understand? What God wants is He wants this town.
Thank you, my Father.
He wants our county. He wants our reach. And we are getting it together because we're figuring it out what he wants. He doesn't want me. He doesn't need me. He doesn't want you. He doesn't need you. But he wants worship. And he wants it to be all about him. You are just the arranger of the meeting place. All you are is the keeper of the door. All you are is the keeper of the tent.
Come on,
so get your tent up and get in the business of arranging meetings with him.
Come on.
Wherever it's at.
Wherever.
Grocery store.
That's right.
At the pharmacy.
Minister preaching.
At the hospital.
Yes.
Wherever you work.
That's our job. That's what we want to do. Come on.
Yeah. Arrange a meeting.
Come on. Spread the gospel. Come on.
Have you met my Jesus?
Come on.
Woo. Let me just tell you about it.
Come on.
Right. And the anointing will fall on you.
Yeah.
And you'll be,
woo.
Like, oh, I didn't know that was in there.
Yeah.
Where'd all that come from?
Come on.
You know why? Because when you arrange it, he feels it.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
When you arrange the meeting, he will do the talking.
Yes, amen.
When you get your place together.
Come on.
This is why that all these years we have had a problem finding our place.
That's right. Come on.
Right?
Amen.
Because the church has been about me and my blessing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not getting blessed with that. I'm going down the road. And you weren't put here to get blessed. But you do get blessed. Only when you do the will of the Father. Jesus said, it's meat too. I'm eating steak right now, y'all.
Amen.
That's what he said. The woman at the well. He was talking to her, and the disciples said, you're not hungry? He said, I got meat. Somebody brought him meat. Oh, we got to find out who that sucker was. We got to get on to him because that's our Savior. That's our Lord. We're supposed to be bringing him meat.
Right.
Who brought him? Right there in the middle of John chapter 4. When Edward and that lady got saved, left the water pot, and they brought food. Yeah. And Jesus said, I didn't have meat.
Come on.
I didn't have steak, boys. Somebody brought him steak.
Yeah. Come on.
Y'all know who that was?
Come on, brother.
You know what his steak was? He said, doing the will of my Father was meat for me.
Come on, that's what it is. Mm.
So you'll get fed if you do his work.
Yeah.
You just minister to him.
That's right.
He's going to see you have what you need.
That's right.
Well, you're up here in here crying because he ain't working for me. Oh, the word ain't working for me. The word ain't working for me. I've done this and I've done that. What'd you do it for?
Come on.
Because you wanted recognition?
Come on.
Because you wanted somebody to know them?
Come on.
Or was you doing it because you was worth? You was wanting to see the King of Kings lifted up on high, and majesty of heaven begin to fall into place, and people begin to be touched all over the building. You can ask Christians today, churches today, what does worship mean to you? And you know what? You'll get 1,000 different answers, and none of them agree. But hey, I want to tell you what worship is. Worship is nothing more than ministering to God. I'm going to just make you feel good, God. I'm going to just tell you how great you are.
Yes.
Amen. That's right, brother.
And you can do that
Amen.
In whatever.
Amen.
Behind the lawnmower.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, anywhere.
On in your car.
Yeah.
Driving down.
That's right.
I-49, with traffic going crazy up there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
Well, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with 12 lanes of traffic at you. Whatever you want, you can still praise God. You can
Amen.
Still make him feel like he's king.
Yes.
Like he's the Lord.
He is king. He is Lord. Amen, brother.
You understand what happened to the church? Is we lost what worship was.
Come on.
Yeah. That's right.
Because we didn't ever know
it. Come on. Hallelujah.
Because in the 15, 1600s, they did away with it. They didn't want no worship. So in the 15 and 1600s, and I'm done.
Preach it, brother. Come on.
15 to 1600s, the Catholic Church, or the church then, the church,
come on.
Said, we're taking the word out of the here hands. So the word to common man became out of the hands to the common man and went into the hands of the holy anointed priest. Changed every bit of it into Latin where it could not be understood by the common man.
Come on.
Because it was too holy to be in the hands of man. Come on, this isn't God's plan. This is what happened. And then they took out the musicians out of the church that were gifted and talented to play music and to worship. And they paid chanters to come in and chant in Latin for the music. You know what the instrument players did? They went to the pubs and the grills. In the bars.
Come on.
We're not welcome to use our talent in the church. And we know we're musicians. We know we got a calling on our life.
Yeah.
We'll go out there.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
This is what happened to the Western church. They did away with everything in worship, and it became all about the word. That's good, not bad. But it became all about the word. All about, and it was ununderstandable. It couldn't. The reformers came. Martin Luther said, we don't like that. We want to bring the word back to the common people.
Yes,
Martin Luther nailed up the theses on the door and said, we got to have it back.
Yeah.
We got to have it back. We got to have it back.
Amen.
And then later on, a guy by the name of William Tyndale.
Come on.
Translated it into the English to where it was translated into where we got our King James Version from.
Hallelujah.
But Martin Luther and all the things, and if you'll read the second chapter and the third chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll find that those seven churches are a significant in their order is an outline of the last 2,000 years of church history. And every era had a problem, except two. Martin Luther's era was the era of the church where Jesus said nothing good about. You know why? Because they had so much murder in their heart. They killed Jews. Martin Luther himself killed many Jews. Murderous spirit. He brought back the Reformation, but he had such a heart of anger and of frustration. Killed God's people in the name of God. Come on, y'all.
Come on, brother.
I don't want to bore you, but I'm telling you why we got to where we are. Then they brought back the word of God to the common people, but then it became all about the word. You just need the word. You just need the word. You just need the word. You don't need anything. Let's take the word of God and put it to pub music. And that's where 90% of our hymns came from pub music. But you can do your research. I don't care. You can find this all. It's wide open for the world to see. Let me tell you something. They did all they know. They were trying to bring it back. But they didn't know there was so much more that they were missing. And they made it all about the preacher, the pastor. He's the ruler of the church. That is the doctrine that Jesus said, I hate. It is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It is a doctrine that puts a wall in between the clergy and the people. And Jesus said, I hate it. Nico means defeated. Laitans means laity. And they have taken the laity and conquered them and defeated them in the righteousness and power of God because they were in leadership. Most of them were money crazy. The Catholic Church did so much stuff in money. It was so terrible what they did for funds, what they did for money. They deceived and destroyed and killed under the name of God. And this is where the American church was born under. So we have a kind of crooked view of what God really wants. Not saying that they didn't feel God and they weren't of God. I'm not saying any of that, but I'm saying, see where we're coming? God is saying, I want it right, boys. I want it right, girls. I'm about to come back. I'm about to take my church out of here. And I want you to get it right. Get it about me. Where it ain't about the pastor. It ain't about the preacher. It ain't about the lay. It ain't about the worship. It ain't about this. It's about me.
Yes, amen.
Come on, brother.
It's about me. I am the head of the church. I bought the church. I paid for the church. I run the church. I own the church. I call the shots. It's about Jesus. Come on, give him praise. We're done. I'm done. I hope I didn't hurt you. I hope I didn't make you mad. But I want to get that out this evening because it's you understand we can't make it if we don't get it right.
Come on, brother.
We can't go any further. We got to see God move in this place. And it ain't about me. Because I'm nothing. It ain't about any of us, but it's about Him.
Amen.
You understand? We got to get it back to Him. He said, I bought the church. I paid for the church. The church is mine.
Yes, amen.
I own it.
Amen.
They give it up.
Yeah.
You're just a meeting place.
That's it.
All you are is just an arranger.
That's right.
All you are is just a minister to me. And now tonight, as we end this service, I want you to say to God, God, I want to get it right.
I want to get it right.